from the crowd with the love for your nation undimmed. Well, it seems that your country is crumbling, but you won't stand and let the enemy win. Your duty is to stand firm and steadfast, to stand proud and stand free is a must. You are the light in the darkness. You are the diamonds in the dust.
Are back, second hour of the broadcast coming your way, Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we've been expecting this for so long now that it's here, it almost seems like you got to pinch yourself to believe it. Been waiting on the acceleration, the move into fifth or sixth gear by this crowd. And now that it's here, you're just like, I can't believe these bastards are actually doing it. And then you dig into this COVID and you realize that they've been planning it for so long, just like 9/11 was planned for so long. You know, and I've been since 2014 or so when I got on the air, I've been talking about the biological angle and kind of war gamed it out in my head by thinking about how this is the one that they're, you know, most likely going to choose because of, due to the fact that they can keep a large swath of the enforcer class, on board because they're worried about quarantine and so forth. And then I've just been watching like various, you know, videos from people to put this stuff together, from I Am Legend and all these movies that were the predictive programming has led up to this point. And I don't watch movies, but I watch videos where people who do watch movies can find these pertinent aspects and then they put them all together. It's brilliant. Here's a, Ken, if you'd get clip three ready. This is from the World Government kind of summit, I guess, this year. Okay, you know how they do these little World Government summits, I think in Saudi Arabia and other places in the Middle East. Well, you know Davos, all the strange stuff that happened at Davos this year with Soros and then the cryptic stuff and... But this video, which unfortunately, you know how videos, there'll be music playing in the background and then they splash documents at you. Okay, well, this one, it splashes all these documents from our own government in the House and Senate about digital wallets for each America. Okay, so this stuff's already on the books, folks. They're going to collapse cash. So now the financial... You know, these financial institutions and people that make money in this sector, they're all like simultaneously now coming after cash. Okay, so now we see why the coin shortage happened and all the little crap that we all just spotted it. I'm like, oh, so all of a sudden there's a coin shortage just pops out of nowhere because of COVID. I mean, I got to give it to these sick, evil bastards to be able to sit down and plan all this out, knowing how evil it is and throwing caution to the wind of your eternal soul and your eternal hereafter after this short and blip on the screen that we call a human life lasts. And these punks don't know what's on the other side. Or if they do, they think they're going to do so much evil here that they're going to be rewarded by the evil force in the universe for being that evil. They're crazy. But let's roll clip three.
So in my experience, one of the greatest obstacles we have for growth is cash. Everything in my experience, and again, I'm speaking in my experience as somebody who ran a logistics company, COD is still 97% of all transactions. So there is, a way of doing business here, which is cash driven, which still has not been disrupted to eliminate cash because of what I talked about earlier, which is behavior. Changing behavior is a really tough thing to do. And I think the next big win will be disrupting this cash business, because in spite of this, e-commerce has grown in leaps and bounds, even with this obstacle of cash on delivery. So I think that's something that the digital economy, the innovation going forward, and how do we eliminate cash is definitely something that's going to catapult the ecosystem here for sure.
Yes, please, Raghu.
I just can't help just jump in every time George speaks. I couldn't agree more, that's why I said I think it's the evolution of cash. Joy, I have some figures which I actually was just looking at just 2 days back. So just give us a sense of what might be happening. But before I get there, I don't know how many people know, they all think cash is for free. Cash costs between 25 basis points to 150 basis points in every single economy around the world. Now, when you're growing your economy at 4% and you have a cost base of just putting in printing cash, this is the actual physical side of it. The fact that they're not included because they're using cash is a separate aspect of why economies don't grow in that. So that itself, if you were to eliminate, is the sort of value you create.
I sorry to interrupt you, but I agree with you 100% on what you're saying. But I can tell you that there needs to be a disruption in fintech. This is the region that, people always say to me, well, is there opportunity here? Absolutely, there's opportunity in the Middle East. Absolutely. And the biggest opportunity is in fintech, because this is the area that needs
financial
disruption.
Technology.
If you can disrupt people feeling more comfortable not to use cash, then you are going to evolve here as the next unicorn, because that is the magic sauce. Because the banking industry, again, and I say this with respect, has a lot of rules and regulations that cause you, not to be dramatic, but to cause you to have your hands tied. So you want to grow, but yet, this is something that needs to change. And I think that this is something that everybody is focusing on, fintech, the banking sector, how do you disrupt this region? And I'm excited about it, because I think it's like a ripe fruit, picked, when you see a fruit on the tree ripening, just ready to be picked. And like I said earlier, despite all of these things, e-commerce is still booming in this region of the world. Imagine. So I'm excited about it. And as an investor myself, whenever I see something in fintech, I'm always excited to hear it, because I've experienced it and I know how exciting and how lucrative this aspect can be. And I'm sure that you would agree with me, Raghu.
Limiting. But these are the type of minds that are sitting here behind the scenes. These treasonous people that are going along perfectly with the enslavement of humanity. Cash is a private, privacy-protecting mechanism. I don't care what it costs to freaking keep the infrastructure of cash around. Because you want these corporations and banks knowing every time you buy something? It's already bad enough now with the cameras and the face recognition and the AI watching all this. Now you want another layer of control on you, which is when you do the transaction, boom, 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 boom. I don't know. These people have no fear of God or understanding of the prophecies, any of it. So I just wanted to get that in there. You're going to love this. Ken, get clip 10 ready. Remember RoboCop, folks, in the city of Detroit with Peter Weller, the first RoboCop, which I loved that movie when I was a kid. You know, I was a youngster when that came out. They were driving around that kind of first generation of Ford Tauruses, those kind of bubbly looking Ford Tauruses. But listen to what's coming out in Michigan, okay, where Detroit was. Go ahead and roll clip 10.
First, part man, part machine, all cop. RoboCop is here. At least maybe his helmet is here. New police helmet, scans for COVID-19, and, you know, some biometrics as well. This coming from thefreethoughtproject.com. And again, everything we always include on these shows down in your show notes. It took how many years, of course? 33 years. But RoboCop is basically here, or at least again, his helmet is here. His smart helmet is here. And it can screen airport passengers for the COVID-19 virus, as well as provide the scanning officer with other vital records. Public officials in Flint, Michigan can't provide clean drinking water to their residents, but travelers to Bishop International Airport can get a glimpse of the new robotic cop helmets where they are currently deployed under the guise of the scamdemic. The smart helmet produced by Italians, I would have thought better. My Italian brethren, they can scan travelers' body temperatures from over 20 feet away. But of course, that is not its limit. Facial recognition software is installed, which can provide the police officer with information related to outstanding warrants. If you're on an ever trustworthy no-fly list, it can read license plates for outstanding warrants, stolen vehicle information, criminal history, essentially anything the police state would like to look into. Police use facial recognition smart helmets to conduct indiscriminate surveillance at airports. You can see the local WNEM TV5 video. Flint Bishop becomes the first U.S. airport. So again, that's maybe the extra sort of insult to injury. Sorry, your water's poison, but here's Ed 209. So remember,
all right, the plot go ahead and stop of RoboCop. It there. Remember Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone? Demolition Man with Sandra or whatever, Stephen Bullock. And then you've got, of course, RoboCop. So we're seeing the beginnings of all of the dystopic kind of cop sector movies starting to come into play. Okay. Oh, it's just going to scan your temp. Oh, by the way, it's got AI and the rest of it built in to where you walk through the airport and you got warrant. And the guy's little Google Glass or whatever the hell the helmet's got going on. I mean, just insanity. Okay. So I wanted to get into this. Q. Okay. Q was kind of quiet for a while. Okay. And then Sentinel case management system used by the FBI. Okay. So files do not go missing unless seventh floor direct involvement. Okay. I think that's seventh floor State Department stuff. Follow the logs, so forth and so on. Now you've got, Q drop 4629, example of a corrupt and controlled mainstream media outlet, and its cover of USA Today. How QAnon is radicalizing Americans. You know, that's the projection. That's the Alinskyite projection. You know, QAnon radicalizing people, I think you need to flip onto the Alinskyite Marxist Maoist mobs that have been bought, rent-a-mobs, and all the useful idiots sucked in by their constant barrage of assaults, mental assaults by their professors and so forth in universities especially, but it begins in high school. And now you've got, you know, the Blaze and a bunch of these outlets have all had whistleblowers send them all of these BLM curriculums that have been added to the public schools. Okay. The high schools and grade schools to where everything is BLM now. and it works perfectly with the music industry and, of course, sports. BLM, MLB, I covered that weeks ago on the pitcher's mounds, Fenway Park, and all, they're all wearing the stuff, taking knees, even hockey. I mean, it's just so sick and ridiculous. So, but anyway, Q drops 46-30, 46-31, 46-32, and 33. So it's a 4-point long Q drops where it gets into all, I mean, it's a compendium of sex trafficking, child pornography, molestation, child rape, and all that stuff by people in both the Republican and Democratic parties down at the local level and up there at the national level. So you got a 4 Q drops, which, I mean, anybody could have did this with, you know, some time and searching, but it's really a compendium of sex trafficking stuff. And the titles are How Blackmail is Used to Control U.S. Politicians, Parts 1, 2, 3, and 4. So if you haven't been on the Q board, it's worth looking at. You can find it at qmap.pub. And I'm not a person that pumps Q all day long, and I, you know, but it is a phenomenon that I do cover, because for me not to cover it, I think I'm doing the listening audience a disservice by not just kind of keeping up on it in a layman sort of fashion. But it's good to have all those things there, because it just shows you the amount of people with sexual proclivities that get caught up, and then controlled. Okay, you got the goods on one of these people, and they got pictures of you with somebody underage. Now with the deepfake stuff and the technological manipulation abilities, we'll see what happens, but. I mean, pretty soon people are going to be able to be like, that's not real. This was doctored or whatever, because the deep fake stuff is going to get to the point where a lot of people aren't going to be able to tell. Now, hopefully there'll be experts around that can and stay at the forefront of being able to differentiate and spot something that is altered and doctored versus something that is a real image or video footage or something of this nature. Hopefully that kind of stays, you know, there's people on that stay up on it enough to where they can say, no, this isn't real versus, because now the stuff's getting so crazy. So the people in Australia, I mean, what's going on there with their police and their politicians and then former deputy prime ministers and prime ministers speaking out. So they're, you know, this whole Five Eyes thing with the British Commonwealth with us put on there, you know, and there's still a lot of people that believe that we're not free of the British Empire. We're still a part of it and so forth and so on. Rothschild's tentacles and all that. But what they're doing to the people in Australia and arresting people that want to just get together and kind of protest the morbid lockdowns, the overdramatic, retarded. I mean, how we still... And our politicians, I mean, all these local politicians in your area and my area, are they all compromised? Are they all to the point where they won't say this whole thing's, this is bull crap, we're not doing it anymore? Are all the health department people creeps that run all the health departments? Are they also scared for their jobs that they're going to go along with a lie? I just, it's insane. Let's go to clip 2 real quick, Ken. and this has been popping up, and it's all over the place. DHS warnings. Go ahead and roll it.
This is DAPU 7. We now have the U.S. Department of Homeland Security releasing a brand new report warning about a potential EMP attack against the United States. And this is something that I've warned about for years and years. It is the number one thing that I've brought up in terms of having a plan and being able to survive it, because I feel if you can survive throughout this event, then your odds are good for many others. Obviously, if you live on the coastline, have a tsunami plan. If you live in earthquake territory, have an earthquake plan. But across the board here, I've told everyone, have an EMP plan. Guarantee you most just did not listen. Just like with other stuff, we can sit out here and we can warn and warn and warn, goes in one ear and out the other. People are off for the next video. They don't think it can happen. Well, these days people are starting to see the crazy stuff can happen and start to unravel, and that this world isn't what it seems to have been. The fangs are now showing from this beast here globally. People see it and they feel it. They see this stuff being pushed globally. It's not just in one country, so they know something's up. This is also feeding into the awakening. That is the silver lining for us here, is more and more people are waking up to what's happening. Problem is, if you leave everybody in the dark, there's going to be no communications. It's just going to be a nightmare. It's a nightmare scenario, and we've always known this. So for them to mention this right before election time, it's something to keep an eye on. I'm going to break this down further on the live stream.
Go ahead and stop it there. So just a smattering of headlines here from Gateway Pundit. F the police, families outraged after assistant high school principal films himself marching with BLM and cussing police at Rochester riots. F white people, BLM Biden supporters scream at elderly couple dining outdoors in Pittsburgh, steal their drinks off the table. And one of these fat black broads has got a shirt that says Nazi lives don't matter. See how they're dehumanizing somebody else because of their ideology, but yet they want to claim that their lives matter. Okay. I want to get a shirt that says since when. Black Lives Matter. I want to get a shirt that just says since when dot dot dot, or then act like it dot dot dot. Here we go. Kamala Harris pushes junk conspiracy that Russia may prevent Joe Biden from winning. That was a CNN interview. Americans don't trust Big Pharma and most won't take a COVID vaccine when there is one. Well, that's another, you know, Australia. And think about the UK and Australia once this frickin' vaccine becomes, quote unquote, available. BLM activists who attempted to kill conservative after memorial for murdered Trump supporter identified. So another guy from the Proud Boys got ran over just yesterday. America-hating Democrat Ilhan Omar prizes violent uprisings in Minneapolis and Kenosha to fundamentally change America. Obama. You know. Those all these boat, you know, parades. There's a big one on Lake Travis in Austin, Texas, and all kinds of boat parades. A retired teacher under investigation by Capitol Police after threatening to shoot GOP Representative Paul Gosar in the head. I mean, people are becoming unhinged. Antifa son of Hollywood actor John Malkovich arrested in Portland. It's just going. So what we have to really kind of, we got to realize that, look, this election process in November, everybody's going to contest it. It's going to go on. Remember Bush, Gore in 2000. So it's going to be a replay of that with a lot of violence. Okay. And so we all might as well realize that. It could get very, very ugly, even in the suburbs, okay? Now, where is this at? Okay. Now, don't steal this book, Matt Taibbi, okay? On Thursday, August 27th, the same day Donald Trump formally accepted the Republican nomination, National Public Radio aired an interview with Vicki Osterweil, an author of the book called In Defense of Looting. The white trans daughter of a science professor, Osterweil, told a credulous NPR interviewer that looting was justified because it strikes at the heart, of property, of whiteness, and of the police, and also provides people with an imaginative sense of freedom and pleasure. She added that riots reveal how without police and without state oppression, we can have things for free. I was so sure Osterweil's book was satire, a clever comic doing a Marxist Andy Kaufman routine, that I bought it. It's not a joke. In Defense of Looting is supposed to be the woke generation's answer to Steal This Book, another anarchist instructional published in an epic period of unrest. But the difference between the books are profound. Abby Hoffman's classic guide to a U.S. on no dollars a day was furious, persuasive, funny, crazy, packed with trenchant commentary about the vicious banalities of 60s America, and entertaining on every page, even when you disagreed with him. If only his iconic definition of free speech were remembered more often today. Free speech is the right to shout theater in a crowded fire. Steal This Book could stand alone as a work of assiduous experimental journalism, filled as it is with survival techniques for life underground he'd gleaned in multiple innovative ways, including responses to ads placed in revolutionary newspapers. Hoffman even supposedly fact-checked the anonymous tips about places on the map to find free food, get treated for sexually transmitted diseases, score drugs, etc. Steal This Book was also an equal opportunity offender, as cutting toward phonies within the revolutionary ranks as it was toward the pig empire. The duty of a revolutionary is to make love, and that means staying alive and free. That doesn't allow for cop-out, smoking dope, and hanging up Che's pictures, no more commitment than drinking milk or collecting postage stamps. There are a lot of things one can say about Abby Hoffman, but he was no LARPer. He wrote the introduction for Steal This Book in jail, doing time for contempt for his memorable lunacy at the Chicago 7 trial, when he, among other things, told the judge to stick it up his bowling ball. And so forth and so on. But so now you've got this book written, In Defense of Looting. All right. I mean, is an Occupy Wall Street transgender with connections to the New York Times, China, and Obama. That's who this Osterweil person is. All right. And we're coming up on break here. But I mean, it's gone so far that I really just, you know, the most terrifying danger facing the U.S., plus this could ignite the gold price to 20,000. So when panic hits, the word skyrocket for gold and silver price would be an understatement. Hypersonic is more accurate. Warning, riots coming to your city, unemployment to explode. Police warn about what's going to happen next. California's wildfires are creating giant lightning-filled volcanic eruption clouds in California. A lot of people are speculating that it's directed energy weapons and so forth and so on. Move people off the land in California, make the land so uninhabitable, everybody leaves. And then the vultures come in and buy it up for nothing. And then California becomes a nice place again. You know, this is the kind of template a lot of the rich people use. Either through eminent domain and create a park, and then strip the park and no longer, and then sell it off to home builders. There's all kinds of strange stuff that goes on, but we'll see what happens with California. But, you know, Joe Rogan just left. There's a big exodus out of California. It's full of bums and druggies. And so once that happens, they'll clear the land out of those folks, and then they'll create another paradise when they buy it all up. See ya. Other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Broadcast coming your way, Incendiary Radio on Republic Broadcasting Network. Joe Biden touts Wall Street support for his plan to abolish American suburbs. Democrat presidential candidate Joe Biden is touting Wall Street support for his $640 billion housing plan that would force low-income multifamily housing developments into America's suburban communities. Well, there's already a ton of them here now. What are you trying to do? During a visit to Kenosha, where the Black Lives Matter organization and members of Antifa have led riots for weeks, Biden told supporters that Wall Street supports this housing plan because it will increase the GDP. Isn't that brilliant? And by the way, it's not a waste of money. Even the folks on Wall Street point out that it will increase the GDP, make it grow. People will do better. People will do better. Biden's housing plan would implement an unprecedented expansion of Section 8 housing vouchers while requiring that local communities abolish strict zoning laws in order to become eligible for certain federal grants. The plan provides a $300 million investment to give states and localities the technical assistance and planning support they need to eliminate exclusionary zoning policies and other local regulations that contribute to sprawl. You know what? So you want to force people to live together that don't want to live near each other. This is the Kalergi plan for America. This is the Kuldenhof Kalergi plan for America to destroy what's left of the white population. And the Jesuits, which run Biden, this is their deal. Same jerks, clicked up with the Jewish mob over there in Europe, Barbara Spector, the Vatican. And I'm not talking regular run-of-the-mill vet. I'm talking the Jesuits and the gangsters that are at the top running the thing. Exclusionary zoning has for decades been strategically used to keep people of color and low-income families out of certain communities. Well, no shit. People don't want to live around crime and hip-hop and all the rest of this crap. Is there anywhere where white people can live and they can be among their own? See, this is how upside down everything is. No freedom of association for white people, you evil white racist supremacist. Diversity is chasing down the last white person. That's been a mantra in various circles for years. This is what this is. And nobody wants to address it. This is what the Marxists do. This is what Stalin did, moving people of different ethnicities all over the Soviet Union, forcing them all over the place. This is what the Stalinist, Maoist nuts are going to do here. It's just so... Former Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCauley from New York has called Biden's housing plan disastrous for suburban families who would see rapid, dense housing developments pop up in their community. Biden's plan is to force suburban towns with single-family homes and minimum lot sizes to build high-density, affordable housing smack in the middle of their leafy neighborhoods. Local preferences and local control be damned. It's white genocide. That's what it is. Nobody's got the nuts to address it. Only a few people on the radio. That's it. It's just nutty. Let's get into a little bit of this Shadowgate documentary. Clip 7. Now, I started at the 17-minute mark, and it's going to get into some of these shadowy corporations that Brennan and Jim Jones and all these characters are involved in. Okay. Now, Millie Weavers has had her ties severed from InfoWars. A lot of strange stuff going on behind the scenes here. A lot of people say the two kind of whistleblower figures in this Shadowgate documentary. People are getting some sort of red flags from them. You know, this is hard to say, but a lot of it's pretty interesting information. So I'm gonna let it play for a little bit. Go ahead and roll clip 7. Oh, Ken says it's trying to play. All right. So I'll talk for a minute while that's going on. Maybe you want to refresh it. I don't know. And put it to 17 minutes. But there's some very interesting information that's in there that basically these guys have taken over the metadata collection from the NSA and they're running a side-by-side collection operation. All right, go ahead.
So what is the relationship between Global Strategies Group, Analysis Corporation, and Canadian Global Information?
They all do the same thing. They're the jacks of all trade, except for the fact that Global Strategies Group was actually a hub for all information, in and out, in and out. I mean, all of the directors there were former GCHQ, CIA, NSA, you know, MI6, MI5, German intelligence. You have to wonder, why are all these former heads heading up a consulting firm? And what were they consulting? And they weren't consulting. They were collecting everybody's data and privatizing it.
John Brennan, working within his network of contracting companies such as Stanley, Canadian Global Information, and the Analysis Corporation, helped then-Senator Barack Obama get elected using Internet Influence Operations. March 5th, 2013, Brennan gets confirmed as CIA director, dodging controversy over his involvement in the CIA enhanced interrogation scandal. Now tell us about these data bridges to the NSA. Is that legally obtained information?
I mean, that's kind of what Snowden did too.
According to sources closely connected to this subject, under John Brennan's direction, Snowden created a data bridge from the NSA database into private servers controlled by private intelligence and cybersecurity contractors, aka the Analysis Corporation, Global Strategies Group, and Canadian Global Information.
The twinning of streams is duplicating the information in the upstream. That's crazy. To think that another company is copying all emails, texts, phone calls, messages, emojis, Instagrams, tweets, anything you can imagine that's being uploaded that has to go into like the 72-hour holding is suddenly being pushed offshore. That sounds kind of illegal because it is.
June 5th, 2013, Edward Snowden goes public with the NSA program PRISM, revealing the NSA collects internet traffic of all U.S. citizens from major internet and telecom companies through the FISA 702 program. Snowden's actions kicked off, on the federal level, justification for spying on U.S. citizens, including the Senate and Congress, in the name of preventing U.S. citizens with classified or top-secret clearances from being able to repeat Snowden's actions. This opened the door for the creation of ClearForce. July 4, 2013, CGI and GCHQ launch a defense protection partnership, which includes sharing threat intelligence. So these were all private corporations that even had foreigners working in them, and they had access to NSA servers?
Of course they did. I mean, how do you think we found, through facial recognition of the FBI, the Belgian bomber? Why would we have their facial recognition data?
So is this legal, what you're telling me, and why would they do it? Why would they set this up this way?
So sharing our information and our private identifying information, facial recognition, biometrics, outside of the United States for official purposes, like at a consulate, at an embassy, you know, through Secret Service or anything like that is legal, right? Or through Interpol. But to have a company that houses everybody's data and any private person can buy that data or investigate that data or analyze that data, that's not. And that's exactly what GSG was doing.
Early 2009, John Brennan left government and went to work for a small intelligence contractor here in the Virginia area, suburban Virginia area, just outside of Washington. The company was called the Analysis Corporation. There are subsidiaries of subsidiaries. Some of these companies are spun out, go public, go private again. It's kind of hard to keep track of them.
In just 4 months, GSG, CGI, and other private contractors allegedly had unauthorized access to the entire Five Eyes network, unfiltered, unrestricted, decompartmentalized, outside any government regulation or oversight. Not surprising, the CIA gets caught 1 year later spying on the U.S. Senate. Their excuse? It was their own network they had set up for the Senate to use, so they had authorization.
Would you agree that the CIA's 2014 search of Senate files was improper?
This is the annual threat assessment, is it not? Yes. These were CIA computers at a CIA leased facility. It was a CIA network that was shared between Senate staffers conducting that investigation for your report, as well as CIA personnel.
The reality is those computers, in effect, belonged to the CIA, but they were reserved exclusively for the committee's use.
We accelerated our ability, our, for want of a better word, invasiveness into communications networks in which legitimate targets coexisted with legitimately protected communications.
Obama takes office, and General Jones is being sworn in as National Security Advisor. His son, General Jones' son, copyrights CKMS, Congressional Knowledge Management System. Within a couple months after he leaves office in 2010, Dynology gets a contract for CKMS, the Congressional Knowledge Management System, which basically controls all of the scheduling, the addresses, the documents, everything for the Congress. CKMS is going to give you access to unlimited information. Think about the information you could get from that.
If we look on usspending.gov, we see Dynology was awarded contracts for the Congressional Knowledge Management System. However, one contract stands out, where Dynology was awarded a contract by the Department of Defense that includes a mention of the Congressional Knowledge Management System. A closer look shows that the award description is for CKMS hosting Labor Admin Core Data. The primary place of performance is Germany, and the North American industry classification description is data processing, hosting, and related services. Even one section stating manufacturing outside the United States, use outside the United States. Let it sink in that these official documents suggest the Congressional Knowledge Management System, outsourced to a private contractor, is hosted, managed, and stored in servers in Germany. This is very disturbing.
Think
with the Senate's computer network
Ukraine
compromised by John Brennan's CIA and the Congressional Knowledge Management System being hosted, managed, and stored overseas by General Jones's company, the ability for these contractors to eavesdrop on both the House and the Senate is staggering.
When I brought this up back in 2018, shortly after that, Dynology lost the contract that they had had since 2011, 2012 with CKMS. And that contract went to another company, a company that exists as nothing more than a website and a mail drop, a mile or so from Dynology's Tampa office, controlling the entire Congressional's knowledge management.
And if you look at the contracting database, they'll say that, oh, they have an American entity. And it's like, but it's the same CEOs for this Canadian company. I'm so confused. So they even falsify information so they can obfuscate where our federal tax dollars are going. And don't forget, they all share contracts. They all subcontract, co-contract.
Psy Group has the exact same product as Dynology, the ShadowNet and iSci, right? Yet the owner of Dynology sits on the board of directors of Psy Group, which in my opinion is kind of like the owner of Coke sitting on the board of directors of Pepsi.
TAC, CGI, and all these LLCs that just keep cycling and cycling. All of them.
The social security numbers of 19.7 million Americans subjected to federal background checks as a condition of employment are now in the hands of hackers.
In June 2015, the Office of Personnel Management announced a major data breach.
Tell us about the OPM hack.
Okay, so that's another Brennan job. So another hack, supposed hack. And this is to obtain, delete, and obfuscate information. Hillary Clinton was up for the chopping block about her emails right at the State Department. And that was coming up. That was big talk of the town in 2014. Suddenly, the Office of Personnel Management was hacked in December. Down the line, 5 months later, Hillary Clinton appears in court, and they tell her, hey, you're going to hand over your emails. A couple days after that, the now-fired, corrupt, leaking former IG of the State Department, Linick, had requested from our elected officials to give him a big fat budget to create his own personal IG of the State Department server.
How convenient.
Very convenient.
While we have no evidence that our data has been compromised, the fact that the contents of our network may be accessed by large numbers of department administrators puts us at unnecessary risk. The IT folks at the department have the keys to our IT system. So they really have access, unfettered access to the system if they wanted to. They could read, modify, delete. I would like to be completely separate from the department to ensure the integrity of our system, but I also need the department to give us access to the same systems that we have now.
And he was responsible in releasing her emails that he gave in little doses, of course, over time. But at the same time, the press came out with a report. Oh dear, months ago, there was a leak.
Do you have evidence that the State Department's network has been attacked? And does that affect you guys?
There's evidence that has been attacked, and it has affected us. I can't really go into details because of the nature of the information.
For people that don't know, the office personnel.
So that's just a kind of a taste of this Shadowgate documentary that made such a hoopla. And that's, you can find that over numerous places over on BitChute if you haven't seen it. Now, Ken, if you would get clip 8 ready, this ties in with the Millie Weaver stuff, and I stumbled across this in the last few days. And this is some guy named Joshua Gray, PI, private investigator, I guess. So let's roll clip 8 real quick.
Huge news. Millie Weaver was – somebody was trying to set her up for some – having child porn and illicit images on her computer. They were going to try to get the FBI to raid her, and so she gets another charge. I mean, there are some crazy things going on, but let's just review where I saw that on her Twitter account, which let's see if I can get to this. Now, here it is on her Twitter account. Oh, come on. So we're not seeing it. It's not blown up really big. But anyway, she writes, now that you know about the shadow net that the documentary Shadowgate exposed, she checks out this. She tweets about this. Virginia National Guard has deployed shadow net nationwide. Virginia is where Dialogy and Clear Force operate out of. This doesn't look good for the 2020 election. It looks like there's a cyber brigade completes the rollout of the shadow net. But anyway, this is what I wanted to show you. If you look at this post, Millie writes, "I'm being attacked so hard right now, guys. The deep state must be scared." And she writes in this post that my lawyer just told me that a prosecutor confirmed someone actually sent child porn to my email. And now they got the FBI involved. Hopefully they're going to find this sicko. Then she writes, must be over the target, staying strong and fighting back. And then this is the actual email that was sent to her. They found, this psychotic POS is making despicable accusations against my family, including child abuse. This is beyond dirty. These attacks are IIA assets being deployed to character assassinate me so that the deep state can take me out. Look at this email sent to me, probably by at Allie. And at Allie is another Twitter handle who really seems to hate Millie with a passion. And then, of course, these are the emails, which if you see this, it says, it's first of all, I note that it's from a untraceable email account. Do not reply at domain by proxy. That's a way to send an email to somebody without it being traced, at least on the surface. I'm sure the FBI has tools to be able to trace this to an IP address, which hopefully will be able to trace it to the person who sent it. But the email says, "Ha ha ha, Millie Weaver filed child porn through your name and signature. Ha 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 ha. We will plant child porn photos inside of your home. We will plant child porn photos in places that you won't be able to find, but we'll call the FBI and have the SWAT team come to your home, and then we'll leak where the photos are, and we'll get you all implicated. Such a bleep. We'll take you and your family down. Ha 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 ha." So highly disturbing, as you can tell, information from this email. Now, I mean, if
all
you...
All right, so All right, so you can go ahead and stop it there. Now, this Ali Alexander character, he's been in the Alex Jones kind of circle for quite a bit now. In the last period of time since Millie Weaver has been out of the picture. So it's kind of interesting just to watch all this play out. So Trump has figured out how to make mail-in voting an election security feature. This is on Jim Stone. Based on the massive number of unsolicited and solicited ballots that will be sent to potential voters for the upcoming election, in order for you to make sure your vote counts and is counted, sign and mail in your ballot as early as possible on election day or early voting. Go to your polling place to see whether or not your mail-in vote has been tabulated. If it has, you will not be able to vote and the mail-in system worked properly. If it has not been counted, vote. Blah, blah, blah. That's if you have, you know, a lot of people don't have, a lot of people don't have faith in the system at all, so forth and so on. But Obama judge orders Detroit police not to use batons and tear gas against protesters. So see, you got all these communist judges that have been placed all throughout the judiciary, the sappers and miners bombing the Constitution. It makes it very hard for the executive and legislative branch to do anything. Now, the House is under control of Pelosi and the basically your Marxist faction. Senate, Mitch McConnell, okay, and he's married to Elaine Chao, Chinese. Very interesting connections there. New York Catholic parish demands parishioners take pledge affirming white privilege must end. Okay. How you like that? Italian mayor suggests fines for those caught wearing masks when unnecessary. Why can't we have some mayors like that? I'm just so sick of the corporate world. The thugs in government being in cahoots to pull this mass crap on us. You know, up on rents, he's got, you know, rolling through his things where it talks about the mask being a psyop and a way to force people into submission, to destroy individuality. And here's the music. It's the end of the broadcast. Hope you enjoy the content, folks. We'll see you. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 7 days. We march towards the rage and the storm. Unto the battlefield. We shall never yield. From my loved ones we are torn. With gleaming swords and shining shields.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening live virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.